Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big.
Hey, it is all business this weekend on the Big E Sports Show as the NBA playoffs, they are just around the corner. And the Dallas Mavericks, it is hard to believe they only have 14 games left in the regular season. And there is definitely a heightened sense of urgency because it is all about positioning right now. It is my true pleasure to welcome in the Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer, Mark Folliwell, who's playing a little bit hurt. What's going on, Mark? What have you been drinking?
Well, hopefully something to help my little bacterial infection situation that I have going on. So trying to get the throat ready to go for the next games that keep coming fast and furious in this crazy season. But we're pressing on through and getting ready for this stretch drive. So if those guys can play through 66 games in this schedule, then I guess I can fight through the broadcast rigors of this 66-game schedule too, you know?
Absolutely, and we're certainly looking forward to your call this weekend. And it is interesting because right now where we're at in the season, Mark, every game counts. Every game is so critical. But I want to reflect back for just a moment because I want you to talk about the importance of the two wins against Houston, especially when you start looking at the Western Conference standings and the logjam with the teams, especially 4 through 9. I mean, it's very important that the Mavericks, that they were able to take care of business.
Yeah, look, I thought those were two really, really big wins. For a number of reasons. Number one, you just have Houston chasing you in the standings. So as you said, every game takes on an increased degree of importance because of everyone's proximity in the standings. I mean, there was one point over the weekend where 4 through 9 in the Western Conference was separated by a game, and I heard Rick Carlisle say that in all of his years of coaching, he's never seen anything like that. And I think that the other thing, though, too, is, and I don't know that a lot of people are talking about this, from my perspective, if the standings are going to be so compacted, then you never know how this thing's going to play out at the end of the season. So if I'm Dallas, then obviously I want to have every tiebreaker I can possibly have. And so they've already won the season series against Denver. They've won the season series against Utah. They've won the season series against Phoenix. They now guaranteed they're going to win, that they've won the season series against the Houston Rockets. And they've got a chance to win the season series with the Clippers and with the Memphis Grizzlies, too, depending on how it plays out over the days ahead. So I think that every tiebreaker that you can possibly get is really, really important at this stage. And by winning those two games, the Mavericks assured themselves that they've won the season series since they're only playing Houston 3 times.
You're listening to the voice of Mark Folliwell. He is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And I think back just, you know, on the 17th when the Mavs really had such an impressive win against the Spurs in that 106-99 win. But Rick is really right. After the Houston win, I mean, when you start looking at the standings, perhaps it was the biggest win of the year.
Well, I think that, you know, you're going to be able to say that maybe about a lot of these wins going forward. Each one might have to be able to take on that sort of feel of the biggest one of the year because the standings are so close and because you're playing a lot of teams that you're battling for position with. You know, this upcoming week, the Mavericks are going to play the Clippers. They're right there neck and neck with the Clippers for a possible home court advantage in the first round's playoff position. They've got Memphis coming up twice on April 4th and April 7th. Well, if they win those two games, they've already lost to them once, as you know, so if they win those two games, then they've got a chance to take the season series and have the tiebreaker on them and put some distance between themselves and Memphis. So I think that's why all these games can take on that feel of, well, this win is great and it's the most important win of the year, but then 2 days later you can have the most important win of the year. It's just, it's that kind of season and that kind of race right now in the Western Conference.
Well, it's paramount that the Mavericks continue to take care of business. But I have to tell you, I mean, I'm very optimistic about Dallas making a very deep run because, you know, we can look forward to Delonte's return, Brendan Haywood's return. And I mean, what an excellent defender that he's been with in the paint. We've certainly missed him. But how deep do you think this team can go?
Well, I think that I'm optimistic about a great playoff run if they're healthy. I think that, you know, I think that's, look, that's been the season's whole goal for this thing is to stay healthy or to get healthy at the end of the year and be playing their best basketball. And so, you know, the message has been from the beginning of the year, let's manage this very, very strange schedule of 66 games in 123 days, get in the playoffs and see what they can do. And because they had a team that won 2 series last year where they didn't have home court advantage, because they have a guy who was the best player on the planet for 2 months last year in Dirk, another proven and tested veteran, I think the thought process is that this is a veteran team that can overcome a lot of tough situations, and there isn't a whole lot to be gained by just going pedal to the metal to try to win every game this year. because it's such a unique situation with so many back-to-backs, 3-3 nights. I think the Mavericks feel like once they get to a normal, regular schedule, which is what the playoffs will be with a day of rest between the games, that they stand a pretty good chance of being able to rely on their veteran mettle that they demonstrated in the playoffs last year. So I think with their depth and if they're healthy, they got a great chance to make a run. We'll see if it all plays out the way that the Mavericks are hoping it will play out.
Mark, you bring up a great point. I mean, I know all teams this year in the NBA, they've had their share of the grueling schedule, but this is with the Dallas Mavericks. They're the defending world champions, the veteran team. They've been through the wars together. But what we've seen when they have had to go, you know, their backs are against the wall and they're in overtime, it seems like they have that extra boost of confidence in late game situations. We saw it once again against Houston on the road with that overtime win.
Well, I think that speaks to your veteran presence. I mean, that's what, you know, when you've got Jason Kidd, when you've got Dirk, when you've got Jason Terry, Sean Marion, I mean, all those guys have made big defensive plays late in games or been able to hit a big shot late in the game. When you've been there and done that, you know, that's a tremendous thing to be able to rely upon to help you succeed in those pressure situations. And that's why, you know, that's why we've seen the Mavericks in some of these big games, like that Houston game or that San Antonio game, be able to succeed because they do have that track record. And obviously, you know, there are no guarantees about it, but they hope that that's going to serve them well once this playoff race gets started.
Well, Dallas certainly had to restock its roster when it came into this season, but there is a lot of buzz about the guy that has signed on and made a very big difference on the interior, and that is Brandon Wright. And how about what a seamless transition he has made from the 4 to the 5 slot, having a lot of success, and the Mavericks certainly are benefiting from what he's been able to provide on the floor.
Well, it's one of the biggest stories surrounding the Mavericks this year is that Brandon Wright has stepped in, and he's been able to stay relatively healthy. The Mavericks have figured out what they have on the guy, and Mark Cuban told me before the season started that he envisioned Brandon Wright being sort of a Brandon Bass-type player. And Brandon Bass was, for those who don't remember, in the 07-08 and 08-09 seasons, he sort of filled the role of being a small ball center for Dallas. So he was undersized, but he was really, really good on the offensive end of the floor. And Brandon Wright certainly fits the bill there. I mean, he's got a little bit more height than Brandon Bass, but certainly doesn't have the body structure in terms of being a bigger, thicker guy. I mean, he's a pretty lanky dude. But the one thing that Brandon Wright has that Bass didn't have is the ability to block shots. I mean, he had 7 block shots, Alyssa, in that
right.
game against Houston. That was incredible. So he's got great timing, great leaping ability, and it's been very, very impressive what he's provided the Mavericks in terms of shot blocking. Going into the weekend, after that big game he had against Houston, he's risen to the number 4 spot in the NBA in block shots per 48 minutes. So he's really, really been impressive in that regard. Great pickup.
You know, and that's you made it some great points there, but you also have to tip your hat to Coach Carlisle because he's had him adapt internally to, you know, to a new role on this team, and for him to be able to contribute and provide these quality minutes, I mean, it really says about, you know, Rick's ability to make guys comfortable in not necessarily a comfortable situation. I mean, playing the 5 slot, there's a big difference between the 4 and the 5, and when you're going against some of the bigger bodies and centers in the NBA.
Well, you know, Rick's always had the motto that you know, playing for this team and playing for this organization, it's about what you can do. It's not about what you can't do. So Rick always seems to bring out the best in role players, and there's been a lot of guys who have come through here. And I think maybe some of it is because Rick was that kind of player. I think he's very sensitive to that because he was that kind of player in his short time in the league. I mean, he was only in the league 5 years. He was a guy off the bench who played on a really good team, and I think that because of his experience there, perhaps he knows how to put players in a position to be role players on a good team and guys who are, you know, not players who are ready for prime time duty all the time and heavy starters minutes, but I just think he has a knack for relating to them and putting them in a position to succeed because in his short time in the league, he was that kind of player. And so I do think that his own playing days experience sort of helps him in that regard.
Okay, a guy that has certainly shown us flexibility and his versatility on the defensive end of the floor and has that unique skill set to be able to guard 1 through 5 is Sean Marion. And I am just curious, I mean, Mark, why do you think he has not received the notoriety that he is so deserving of?
Well, when you look at his entire career, I mean, I think part of the reason he doesn't get the defensive notoriety is because he spent a lot of years playing in that crazy system in Phoenix where offense was the focal point. And I think that even though he was putting up good steal numbers and had a good reputation as an individual defender and got a lot of defensive rebounds, I just don't think people respected what he did defensively in terms of voting for him for awards because they looked at Phoenix's overall defensive performance and said, well, how could you have somebody from that team be an all-defensive team caliber player? There's just no way. So I think that's probably part of the reason that he hasn't gotten the notoriety. And then the other aspect of it is, too, is that You know, sometimes people equate defense with blocks and steals. And look, those two things are great things to have. They're nice things to measure, tangibly speaking, about statistics. But getting a lot of blocks and steals in and of itself doesn't mean that you're a great lockdown defender. You know, some of the best defenders were guys like Bruce Bowen. And Bruce Bowen was just a hard-nosed guy who didn't gamble, didn't take chances,
right,
and so therefore didn't get a lot of steals. But he was still clearly a very, very good on-the-ball lockdown defender. And so Sean Marion, at this stage of his career, doesn't get a ton of steals. So maybe people look at the stats and say, oh, well, he can't be that great of a defender. He doesn't get a lot of steals. But I think, you know, defense is one of those things that you have to see a guy night in, night out to truly appreciate. And those of us that see Sean Marion night in, night out realize that he's a heck of a defender. And I think that maybe some of the advanced analytics and metrics out there that people have more access to now will help bear that out. And hopefully because of that, then he'll get the consideration that he deserves when the award voting gets here for Defensive Player of the Year, or for at least being an all-defensive, NBA all-defensive team selection.
Well, now, correct me if I'm wrong. During his time at Phoenix, though, I mean, he faced tough matchups. I mean, he guarded Kobe Bryant and Parker and Ginobili and those guys. It wasn't like that he wasn't going against the best offensive player.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, he definitely did do that. I mean, he definitely faced tough challenges defensively when he was in Phoenix. My personal opinion about it just is that I think that he wasn't going to get the recognition,
okay,
because people would look at, oh, well, they give up 108 points a game, so therefore how can anybody on that team really be that good of a defender? I think he was always going to be hurt by the reputation of the team in terms of how people would view him as a defensive player. So I think that probably worked a little bit against him as well. But, you know, obviously the situation is much different here in terms of what people think about Dallas in defense compared to what they thought about Phoenix in defense. So hopefully that will serve him well in terms of how people view him whenever the awards roll around. But the ultimate award, of course, is putting that ring on your finger, which you got to do last year. And obviously he's as motivated as anybody to do it again this year.
Mark, you're very good at evaluating talent. I mean, so would you give him the vote as Defensive Player of the Year?
Well, you know, I haven't thought that hard about it in terms of Defensive Player of the Year. I think that he certainly deserves an all-defensive team vote. But, of course, that's the coaches. You know, we, the league broadcasters and writers, vote for the Defensive Player of the Year. So that's just those of us in the dumb media that will make that vote.
And easy, easy.
I'm throwing myself under
the bus. Okay, all right, Mark.
You know, that's something that we'll get a chance to vote on later. I've had a vote on it in the past and assumed that that will be the case again this year. And, you know, we'll have three spots that we can vote for. And he'll definitely get a top three spot, in my opinion, for sure. You know, there's no question he'll get a top three spot. I haven't looked at all the other candidates to say that I'm going to for sure vote him number one, but I would say at this stage of the game, there's a pretty darn good chance of it for sure.
Well, Mark Folliwell, we are so glad you've been along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm not going to keep you too long because I want you to preserve your voice. We love listening. We love watching you. You guys do a great job on Fox Sports Southwest, but I always like to finish on a positive, and it was so wonderful to see Lamar Odom get back into rhythm and to move forward in such a positive way, and you can really see how he really does make a difference when he does provide those quality minutes.
Well, sure, no question. Look, Lamar is a guy who's got a lot of talent. He's extremely versatile. You know, no one is going to try to gloss over the fact that things haven't worked out very well this year so far. But hopefully his recent performance is a sign of good things to come. You know, I do think the guy cares. He obviously has to because he's put on the uniform of his country twice for Team USA in 2004 and 2010. He's been a part of two championships with the Lakers. He's played almost 900 games in the league. I don't think there's any doubt that the guy has pride in himself and pride in the uniform that he puts on. You know, what's going on with him mentally this year, I don't know. It's hard to say. But clearly he hasn't adapted very well to the situation and leaving L.A. and this new system that he's in. But, you know, hopefully the fact that that guy knows what it takes to get to the top of the mountain, and maybe even more importantly, he knows what it means to get to the top of the mountain. So if he can get on board with, you know, trying to get this thing back there, then I think that his experience in doing it and his knowledge of what it means to get there and how special an accomplishment that is and how unique once-in-a-lifetime that kind of thing is to be able to get there and win multiple championships, then hopefully that's going to bring him around and put him in a position to be as good as he can be and make the Mavericks as good as he can be, or they can be, because when he does play well, as we saw the other night, clearly it's a big boost to this team.
Well, and he did play well against Houston at home. Were you surprised to see the fans, just how quickly they flip-flopped and they were embracing him and they were excited to see their guy get going?
No, not at all. I wasn't surprised to see that at all because, look, these fans want to see him succeed. Nobody wants to be booing the guy. They don't want to do that. They want the guy to be successful. They've always wanted that from the beginning of this thing.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, he just hasn't played well and hasn't, you know, at times looked like he hasn't wanted to be here or hasn't put forth his best effort. I think that's why the Boo Birds were out. But whenever he played hard and played well, it was a sign that, look, the Maverick fans are very passionate. They want to see their team succeed. And I don't think that there's any doubt that, that's why they flip-flopped and started cheering so much whenever they saw him out there, because, you know, nobody wants this thing to not work out. They want him to be as successful as possible.
We have been having a wonderful conversation with Mark Folliwell with the Dallas Mavericks. Mark, certainly appreciate your time, and don't forget to put on some sunscreen down there in Florida. Otherwise, you're going to have to go a shade darker with your TV makeup, won't you?
Well, you know, I do love the sun. I feel like I'm a little bit short on vitamin D right now, so maybe I can make that happen.
I am not Catholic, but I'll do a Hail Mary for you that you feel better. Thank you, my dear. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Alyssa. Take care, and have a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead. We're getting ready to tee it up this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. Stay close.